Hello and welcome back to Movie Mike's Movie Podcast, your go-to source for all things movies. I'm your host, Movie Mike, joined on this episode by my co-host and fiance, Kelsey. How are you today?
I'm your wife.
What did I say?
Fiance.
See, I'm still not used to it, and we just have an example of how it's still a little bit weird to say. But yes, you are my wife now. You come on the podcast from time to time and co-host the episode with me because I need you, apparently. And today what we're talking about is TV shows that I think would make great movies. I've come up with my list, and I'm going to give you the premise, and you're just going to say if you would watch it or not, all right?
Sounds good.
And then we're also going to review a movie we watched together called Joe Bell in Theaters, which was actually your pick.
Yeah, I have some thoughts
on that. Yeah, so we'll get to that review later. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the podcast. Without any further ado, let's get started.
In a world where everyone and their mother has a podcast, one man stands to infiltrate the ears of listeners like never before in a movie podcast. A man with so much movie knowledge, he's basically like a walking IMDb with glasses. From the Nashville Podcast Network, this is Movie Mike's Movie Podcast.
All right, so let's talk about some TV shows that I think would make great movies. I think sometimes people start to love a TV show, and I think it was more a thing in the back in the day of like, when's it going to get a movie? When's it going to get a movie? And that was kind of like the quintessential, you knew a show made it when it would get its movie. I think now it's kind of changed a little bit to where TV shows can be their entirely different thing. You never really have to get that movie satisfaction to get the same kind of like, oh, it's made it. So I was thinking of some of the shows I've liked over my life, like what would I actually want to see a movie get made of and what would I think would actually work. And the first one that came to me was actually kind of top of mind because after 25 seasons, it has now been canceled. And if you're not familiar with Arthur on PBS, here's a little bit of the theme song. Everybody that you meet. Which was, for me, the first theme song I ever knew every single lyric to.
Oh, you still know
it. And I still know it and sing it all the time. Well, you can learn to work and play. But I think that would, right now, at this moment, if that movie came out, it would actually do pretty well.
Okay, get on writing that.
Okay, I'll write the premise right now. Would you watch that? I know you didn't grow up with Arthur.
Did you? I did.
You did?
Yes, I loved Arthur.
Then why don't you like it when I sing the theme song?
Because you just sing it nonstop.
So you do remember watching Arthur as a kid?
Yes, Arthur and DW.
Okay, would you watch an Arthur movie?
At 27 years old? Probably not.
Would you want our future kid to have an Arthur movie to watch?
Yes.
Okay. I think it would be a good movie. Do you have a favorite episode or something you remember from Arthur that stuck out?
I'm not in the Arthur fan club as you are. I liked it. I had some Arthur books too.
Okay. Oh,
what
yeah.
What was the friend's name?
Buster friend? Baxter?
Yes.
Who went away, then he came back?
Oh no, I've opened the Arthur wormhole. Can we move on to the next one?
Okay. I just think that would be a good one. It was top of mind right now that it got canceled after 25 years. The next one on my list, I don't think you ever watched this show, but I feel right now that there hasn't been a great comedy in a very long time. Something about how comedies are made now, they're just not that funny anymore. Maybe it's the whole, we're so used to like TikTok gratification of getting a laugh within like 15 seconds of watching something that I really don't think a great comedy has been as big of a hit than it was maybe like 10 years ago. But a TV show that I loved was Malcolm in the Middle. And I think doing something now of revisiting that, I don't think it needs a reboot, but I think it would be funny to get all those original people together. Bryan Cranston now being the big star that we know him as. I think that would be a funny movie.
I watched episodes.
You did?
Yeah. It wasn't my favorite, but I watched it.
I feel like that's a very underrated show from the 2000s. As long as it was on and how many kind of funny episodes and funny things that came out of that show, no one really talks about that anymore. Aside from like, oh, it's like a thing that you remember Bryan Cranston from before he did Breaking Bad. But there was a lot of great moments on that show. And I remember rewatching it time and time again. I was like, that's a great show. I think it would make a great movie. So would you watch the Malcolm in the Middle movie?
Sure.
Okay, so we're about one for two right now.
I never said I wouldn't watch the Arthur movie. If we had kids, I would. I'm not going to go right now.
True.
Buy a ticket to the Arthur movie at 27 years old.
And I also think that's a problem that people have with things getting rebooted way down the line. It's like, did anybody really want this?
Do we need to revisit when you made me go see Christopher Robin?
Why?
I'm just saying that's, I feel like that's long lines if you wanted, I feel like they would make Arthur like a, it'd be like a live action, like CGI Arthur.
Okay. Ew, yeah, I wouldn't like that. I like
that's the vibe I feel like they'd try for.
I'd go for the straight on 2D animation. Another one I have on my list, which I know for sure you didn't watch this one, but Lost.
Yeah, no, I ended up reading the Wikipedia page for a quick summary of what happened in all 8 seasons.
I think when it comes to Lost, people either loved it or completely hated it. And I feel like it's kind of a bad rap because Lost was never meant to run as long as it did.
What year did it come out?
It started in 2004. The finale aired in 2010.
Okay. I see. I feel like I just had too much on my TV plate.
Okay. Well, I remember watching a little bit when it was actually on the air, but the time I really got into it was afterwards when all the episodes went onto Netflix and I binged the entire series. And I feel like it changed my life. There's a lot of that TV show that stuck with me. And what I think people had a problem with is they wanted every single answer, every single mystery solved. And I don't think that show was built like that. They had a writer strike in the middle of it. There was a lot of just going on with that show that it wasn't meant to last that long. That, yeah, they didn't go back and solve every little mystery of the island.
Oh, that would annoy me.
Yeah, that's why I think people had a problem with it. And there's also kind of a debate on how it ended, what the ending actually means. So what I took from Lost was the overall big overarching concept of it and the bond that those people had, the way they were connected. And there's a lot of stories you get out of it that I felt over time of watching it was very impactful to me. I think if you took the entire series, it would get tricky of how, what to write the movie about. But I think having it into a concise hour and a half, 2 hours, it would really kind of do that entire franchise justice. And I think it would be a really great movie to where they could take the overall mystery of the island, condense it into one story, and you get everything resolved by the end of it. I think it would be more satisfying right now than to go back and try to reboot it, which you've been watching, and I think you finished Manifest on Netflix, which I was, when you told me the premise of that, I was like, that's kind of a reboot of Lost.
Yeah.
And that's kind of up in the air if it's going to get another season.
Yeah, and I'm debating on whether it should. It went a little in the third season. If it came back, I would watch it, obviously. And I'm in that phase of like, I grew up, my mom and I watching TV was our thing. Like, mm-hmm. That was our like weeknight thing. I didn't have a ton of friends in high school. Shocking, I know.
Welcome to the club.
I didn't really do much on weeknights or weekends. So I watched TV with my mom. That was like always our thing. And so I watched a lot of TV in high school. Not as much in college. Again, didn't have that many friends until later in college. I just studied a lot. And then between college and grad school, when I didn't have school anymore, I would come home from work and watch TV. So I got really back into TV, and then grad school in a long distance relationship, didn't have much time. So now that I'm done with grad school and I just have an 8 to 5 and I finish at 5 and I'm done, now I like need more TV to watch because you still have work to do in the evenings and I get done and I'm like, so what do I do now?
And that's how you crushed Manifest.
That is how I crushed Manifest. It's also how I read a lot.
So would you rather see, I know it's still up in the air right now, Manifest get another season, or they're just like, hey, we're going to put out a movie?
Not a movie.
Not a movie.
Not a movie. Don't do a movie.
Okay. Another one I had on my list was Game of Thrones, which I feel a bunch of people kind of in the same way of people hating the finale of Lost, they also hated the ending of Game of Thrones. And I know they're trying to do like spin-off series from Game of Thrones, but I also think that whole kind of universe lends itself really well to movies. Essentially, the biggest episodes from that series were a movie. They were already an hour plus sometimes.
And they probably spin as much on those episodes as they did a movie.
They do. They're huge battles and they take up as much time as a movie would. The problem I had with Game of Thrones, I watched the entire series. There's so many characters in that I would get confused. Unless you were like super dialed into that show and like super nerdy about it, it was hard to keep track of like who was doing what this meant. Big things would happen and be like, wait, why is that important? I think if you took some of those characters and instead of giving them spin-off series or origin story, just make a movie, I think that would be so much more entertaining right now.
I only know one character from Game of Thrones, and it was Sophie Turner's.
I think that's just, for me, I would get more satisfaction if they came out and just say, hey, we're putting out some Game of Thrones movies, putting them on HBO Max. I would watch that more so. I'm not that interested in a spin-off series. I also just think that it's been a while since we really remember what was going on in that show. So that was one I had on my list. Would you watch that?
Do I need to have watched Game of Thrones?
No, I think they could make them to where they're completely self-contained.
Okay, then yes.
They are big. Like, were you ever interested in all in watching that show?
No.
Too nerdy?
Yeah.
What's your level on like sci-fi? Because do you like to sit down and watch something completely science fiction and like medieval?
Okay, not medieval. I'm more like, I wouldn't call that sci-fi though. When I think sci-fi, I think of like the Sci-Fi Channel mm-hmm. when they have movies about like a tornado that spits out fire. Like that's sci-fi to me.
Okay.
Game of Thrones isn't, I mean, I know it's sci-fi, but.
It can border on.
I mean, like weather related sci-fi. There we go. Oh, I'm a weather nerd.
You like disaster movies.
Yeah.
That was one of our early kind of bondings of like, we both love disaster movies for really no other reason than.
Didn't we watch The Day After Tomorrow on like one of our first few?
Yeah. I think there was one early weekend where we watched every single disaster movie that we could find. Day After Tomorrow.
Yeah. Twister. I want to say that was over Christmas break.
We watched some random movie about a weird tornado on Amazon.
We did not watch the whole thing. We got 5 minutes into it, and it was so low budget. It was terrible.
Sometimes it takes, when you're looking for your disaster film fix, you got to find.
Or that might have even been when I got my wisdom teeth out, and we had nothing to do besides watch movies.
And they were just randomly titled movies like not even Twister, like Tornado Lane or something.
Yeah, we also watched, Dante's Peak. That's a great one.
Volcano.
Yes. That's what I was looking for.
That is another one.
Okay. So back to sci-fi.
Backpedaling.
Back
to TV shows.
That's more of my lane of sci-fi. I don't get too into the like medieval. It just kind of was like, bleh.
I'm kind of that same way with movies. If I see a movie, like even I was watching the new Dune trailer, it's not completely medieval, but it's kind of like, it has like a very regal feeling of like the fancy talk and, you know, the wardrobe. It's hard for me to kind of get into that. I have to be in a total mindset to want to watch something like that. It's not easily digestible for me.
But see, regal I can get into, like The Crown, I can get into like history type regal.
Mm. Yeah, that's not really my thing. I can't get into it. Another one I had on my list was Community. And this was one of my favorite shows. Mainly because of the cast, mainly because of how funny it was. And the whole kind of running joke on this TV show was that it was going to get a certain amount of seasons in a movie. 6 seasons in a movie. That was kind of what they said throughout the entire thing. It never really got there. Probably around the 3rd season, it kind of fizzled out a little bit. Never reached that mark. But I would really like to see all these characters come back and do a movie. From Joe McHale, my favorite, Donald Glover, Alison Brie, there's just so many great people. And then whenever Chevy Chase left the show, I think that's kind of where it saw a little bit of its demise.
I'm laughing because I know you said Chevy Chase, but I heard Chubby Chase. And I was like, who is that? Another fun fact. Sometimes Mike mumbles around the house and I'm like, what did you just say? I've heard a lot of things that aren't what he said before.
It's a common thing with me. I mean, I mumble on this podcast sometimes. I gotta fix myself.
Sometimes I'm like, enunciate.
But yes, I love Community. I think that would really lend itself to a great movie. Would you watch that one?
Yeah, because I love Joel McHale. I used to watch The Soup.
Great show.
I remember like very random clips from that. My friends and I still talk about that.
I remember one time, I think I went with Bobby to the CMT Awards.
That sounds right. I know what story here.
And Joe McHale was in front of us the entire time. And he is like super tall and also really nice. Like, I think he held the door open for us. What celebrity do you know would hold the door open for other people?
No one, because now in the age of pandemics, we don't touch doors.
Oh, that is also true. But yeah, that was a really nice run-in I had with him. I guess you can always tell. I mean, even I find it weird to hold the door open for people when they're a certain distance away.
Then they have to run, but then if you don't, then it looks like you suck.
It's hard because you're like, all right, they're. I always kind of gauge you, like, how many footsteps are behind me? Should I start walking a little bit slower as I'm approaching this? Like, what's my game plan here? If I hold it, do they have to do that little run walk thing? Nobody wants to do the run walk thing to go catch a door, but you also don't want to feel a jerk. But Joe McHale held the door open for us. All right. Next on my list, I have a couple Marvel shows. and
that don't exist. They're just writing them.
They already exist.
Okay.
And some of these already have movies, but they lended themselves. I felt like these shows were completely different, and the movies they actually made for these did the characters no justice. So all these Marvel shows that came out and got canceled were The Punisher, Daredevil, Jessica Jones.
Oh, those Marvel.
There were a couple other ones that I didn't really get into, but I think these three specifically, I think people love these characters. They were done so well. They were grittier. They were more hardcore. They were a little more violent and real life kind of based. They just canceled the show. Nothing else came of it afterwards. They were never tied into the entire Marvel universe. They're just kind of sitting there as like great characters, finally had the story down, had this tone that I think a lot of people kind of had and resonated with watching these shows, but then they're just sitting there. So I think if they went and actually took these shows, took the characters, took the storylines, and just continued into a movie, I think those would be fantastic. I think that's kind of where Marvel is missing out a little bit, and they probably don't want to get into that space of putting out like a hardcore kind of rated R movie. I mean, they have Deadpool, but that's really more in like, it's rated R because it's a comedy and they say bad words and the violence is a little bit more extreme, but they don't really have kind of a Dark Knight equivalent is what I'm trying to say. I think they could have it here. A rated R Marvel movie, very gritty. They have the characters. I would love to see that. What about you?
I would watch that. Also, that was a tongue twister. Rated R Marvel movie.
Rated R Marvel movie. Try that five times fast.
No, I would watch those.
But anyway, that's kind of what I had on my list. I do have another list that I'll probably do on another episode of TV shows that were adapted into movies that actually worked, and also TV shows that were adapted into movies that completely failed. So if you were kind of into this topic, let me know and I'll do that episode later down the line. Coming up next, we're going to give our review on the movie Jobel and then talk about the whole big controversy going on with Scarlett Johansson suing Disney. We'll explain all that after this. Let's get into a movie review now. A brand new movie starring Mark Wahlberg called Jobel, which is based on a true story. And even though it is based on a true story, I'm still keeping the spoiler-free rule on this review because I think both of us didn't really know a whole lot about this new story when it came out. So I think when you're watching it, you're kind of being presented to it at the, you know, for the very first time. So we won't really kind of ruin any plot points about the movie, but there's a lot to discuss here. But if you haven't heard about this movie yet, here's just a little bit of the trailer.
Jaden knew before he died that you loved him and accepted him. That's what matters.
I never let him know it was okay. I gotta live with that.
I have been to the movies.
I decided to walk across America.
I'll talk to anybody who will listen about bullying.
When I told you to take a walk, I meant around the block, not to New York City.
He told us he won't live there someday, remember?
I saw him. Right there in front of me.
So in that trailer, you do get a little bit of background on the story. It's based on a character in a real life person named Jobel, who started this walk to pay tribute to his son, Jaden, who was a gay teenager and committed suicide after being bullied.
I was like, that's not a spoiler.
Relentless. Yeah, that sounds like a spoiler, but it's not. You literally see that and hear that in that trailer. And we saw this as a preview when we went to go watch Black Widow. And you saw that and was like, I want to see that.
Yeah.
And the trailer's pretty emotional when you watch it. And you think of like, you just kind of get so many feelings from it of like, oh man, this is going to be a really kind of hard-hitting movie tackling a pretty hard subject. And it is. Like, I don't really remember hearing about this story. So I felt like I took it all in as we were watching it. But I also made a big mistake.
So yeah, this mistake was yours. I asked... Also, we had the theater to ourselves.
To ourselves.
So at one point I was like, oh, I wonder what year this took place in. And Mike, being the dummy he is, Googles the movie and reads, again, based on a true story, but if you don't know the story, then you don't know what's going to happen.
And I read a spoiler.
Reads a spoiler, which is like the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Didn't tell me, thankfully, but I was like, what did you expect when you Googled a movie while we were sitting in the theater?
So if you're going to go watch this, I recommend not Googling it. And then we won't give away anything about the ending or anything like that. But that's kind of the line you play when you watch a movie based on a true story. And I think some people have that debate on like, can you ruin a movie that was that actually happened? I think if it's so big, everybody knows the story. Yeah, you could probably spoil it. If it's a really big, fresh news story that happened, you're probably not going to say anything that people don't know. But I think the kind of reason this movie was made was to tell their story, and so that more people know about it, more people are aware about it, and it kind of spreads the overall message of what he was trying to do with this walk. So I think that's why this movie is important. That's why it was made. With that said, I come on here and I review movies and critique them. I think there is a little bit to kind of dive into there, because the thing you did look at before we watched it was the Rotten Tomatoes score, and you didn't want to tell me it. I didn't want to know it beforehand. I usually don't like to know.
Yeah, I just wondered out of curiosity, which...
It's a good gauge.
It is, but I also... I mean, it's a true story and it's very like heartfelt. So I almost kind of think Rotten Tomatoes is like,
I think it's wrong.
Kind of being a bunch of, I won't say it, but I'll let a-holes bleep myself there. I guess they're critiquing more so like the delivery of the story than the story itself. But you see a lower score and you're like, it's kind of douchey.
And it's a very low score. And I kind of feel that same way, and I was kind of dissecting what I was going to say about this and preparing my notes of the review for this movie. And I, looking at the movie and the questions I had while watching it, I can see some of the disparities in the things they pointed out, but also how low a score they got. Like, it just didn't seem like real to me. Like, did you watch the same movie? So what I will say about it and the way the movie was delivered, it did kind of go back and forth between present day and the past. To where you're with Mark Wahlberg playing this character, Joe Bell, on the walk, but you're also flashing back to before when his son Jaden was still alive. Were you ever confused, like, between the back and forth?
No, I thought that worked for the story. I think it would have been weird if it was just told in chronological order, because so much of his walk was influenced by what happened, and so much of his walk is him reflecting on that. I mean, he's walking across the U.S., like... It's just a lot of solo time. You're going to kind of reflect on your life and the reason why you're walking. So I wasn't confused. I thought it was well done.
I thought that part too. Like, I got it. They were able to go back and forth. I understood it. I think the other thing people kind of were grasping is when he is on the walk, Jaden is not really alive, but he's there. So I think maybe you have kind of like a in between of like, wait, what's going on at this point? Did you ever get that at all?
No. The whole movie is about his son dying.
Yes.
You know, he's just like imagining. There's been plenty of other movies where somebody like imagines someone who's passed, like as a figment of their imagination. I don't feel like that was that confusing. If someone from Rotten Tomatoes is that confused after all the movies they've ever seen.
Yeah.
I did not think it was that confusing.
And the other thing, the only thing I was thinking about afterward was how powerful it was able to kind of share his story and explain the overall meaning of what happened. Did you feel telling, I mean, the movie is called Joe Bell, but it's reflecting more on the story of Jaden. Do you feel it would have been more powerful told from Jaden's perspective?
No, because that takes away from the story. Like, it was Jaden's life that influenced mm-hmm. his dad, who then went on to influence other people.
Yes. Okay. I think for me, the thing I wanted a little bit more in the movie was kind of what Jaden was going through. And I think that was really the most emotional kind of impactful moment to me, to the point to where I think I got a little bit emotional on the verge of tears. I think that's the closest I've gotten to crying and not crying in a movie, to where I already knew it going into it that it was going to be sad.
Yeah.
And that I was going to feel something. I don't think it lent itself for me to cry because from the trailer, I already knew what was going to happen to him. But it's pretty emotional when it actually happens. And then I think for me, I kind of wanted to know a little bit more of like how it affected him. I think that was the best part of the movie. And then when it kind of focuses more on his dad and his walk, I think they could have fleshed out the characters a little bit more there. That's the only part that I was like, I wanted a little bit more in that sense. And also, it's a pretty quick movie.
I feel like that would have been a different movie, though.
That's true.
That would have been, that wasn't the purpose of Joe Bell.
Yeah, I agree. I think this movie could have been told in two different perspectives, and finding the logic in those low scores, I think that's the dumb reason that people rated it so low. And it's also like, I feel like Mark Wahlberg himself, him taking on an emotional role like this, a little bit more of a serious role, he kind of got grilled of like, oh, can he actually do it? I thought he did great.
Mark Wahlberg's done plenty of serious roles.
Yeah.
I love Mark Wahlberg.
I do too.
He's done Shooter. He did the one about Boston, Patriots Day, about the Boston Marathon. He's done plenty of serious roles, I feel like.
Yeah.
I like Mark Wahlberg.
I agree, too. I think he's one of the actors that I will watch every single movie he's in, even the more comedic ones.
I also love Connie Britton.
Yes.
Love Connie Britton.
So the only other issue I had with this, and it's not even that big of a deal, it was a pretty quick movie.
You were excited about that going into it. I was like, it's only an hour and a half.
I did love that part about it. There was another issue I had with the movie, but I'll leave it there for now. I don't think it's a movie you need to rush to the theater to watch right now. So that's where I'm kind of at with this movie. I think it's a great movie that everybody should probably watch and learn about this story. Maybe not rush to the theater, watch it later down the line. So if you had to rate this movie, what would you give it?
I would give it 4 out of 5 tenths.
4 out of 5 tenths. Mm-hmm. I'll go a little bit under than you and give it 3.5 out of 5 pairs of walking shoes. I think it's an emotional movie, a really great story that I wasn't aware of and learned a lot about. And then also, I thought the cast was really good, especially with that last little cameo with Gary Sinise.
Gary Sinise was great.
Yeah, like I see an actor like Gary Sinise and you realize, man, there's some really great actors out there who can just come on screen and kind of demand a scene. You hang on to every word. I think he's one of the very few actors that had such a quick cameo like that I was like, man, that movie really kind of was made by his little part in the movie. So I'd say go watch it maybe when it's out on Blu-ray or later on the streaming service, but not necessarily when you got to spend the ticket price on right now. So that is our review of Jobel. All right, we'll wrap it up here with the biggest thing in movie news right now that I've done a lot of research in both sides of this argument, and if you haven't seen the story, is that Scarlett Johansson is suing Disney. Basically, I'll lay it down like this. She is saying they had a breach of contract whenever they put Black Widow on Disney Plus, and her initial contract was saying that however much that movie made at the box office, she would get a percentage of, and she would make more based on how many tickets were sold and how successful the movie is. And then when it was announced that it was also going to go on to Disney Plus for $30 for people to watch at home, she was left out of that deal. She tried to contact them to renegotiate and be like, hey, I got to get some money out of this too. Like, if it doesn't reach the box office numbers because people are taking the option to watch it at home, that kind of affects how much money I'm going to make out of this. And that came out, and then Disney kind of replied of saying like, well, in the wake of the pandemic, like, this is how things are going. They didn't say anything about her trying to renegotiate or contacting them about that. And they're kind of just in this battle now of like, what's going to happen? And this isn't really the first time something like this has happened. Whenever A Quiet Place 2 was initially supposed to come out and it was delayed a year, and then it came out that it was going to be released in theaters, but also on Paramount Plus 45 days later, John Krasinski and Emily Blunt had the same kind of argument of saying, hey, you're limiting our window here of being able to make money. We should kind of renegotiate this too. That never went to a lawsuit, and John Krasinski ended up signing like a big deal with them later of putting out more movies with them. But I think we're going to see more things like this as studios kind of tell us and decide where their movies are going to go. And it's them adapting to, okay, we can put it in theaters, but we also have this streaming service just sitting here that we're going to put this big production on and us make the money off of it. And in turn, I feel like, yeah, they are kind of taking some of the actors' money in this sense. So I think a lot of things have to change and be adapted to also include when a movie is going to be released on streaming in that same kind of theatrical window. Otherwise, you're going to see big actors like Scarlett Johansson, maybe even like The Rock now, come back and be like, oh, we got to renegotiate this. If I'm being promised the amount from the box office, then we have to factor in streaming a little bit too. So if I had to guess how this lawsuit is going to get settled out, I think they may settle with her and be like, hey, yeah, we didn't cut you in on this. We made $60 million off Disney Plus. Here's a portion of that, or here's the initial amount you thought would have been made, because it was crazy that that movie made so much the opening weekend and next weekend dropped like 80% in sales. And I know a lot of people that opted to watch it at home. So I think it does kind of factor in there of like, what will they do? So Any thoughts on how that should be handled? Or do you feel like it's just rich people arguing over money?
No, I don't think it's rich people arguing over money. I think that it is like, it's kind of like when Taylor Swift went up against like Spotify mm-hmm. about being paid. I think it's a new landscape that they didn't account for.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone would have accounted for this before. Like there was no option ever like thinking of seeing like a big movie like that in your home. Like it was always theaters and releases. So I think they weren't prepared for that. And yeah. maybe they just kind of thought that nobody would be any wiser to it and thought it's they true. Could get away with it. Because I said this the other day, I don't feel like the people like working in those roles are maybe the most morally sound. Sorry if anyone listening to this podcast works, but I think she deserves the money. Pay ScarJo what she deserves. I go back and forth about whether I think like actors are overpaid, but I also think about like how much time and effort they put into it. And do I think they're maybe overpaid a little bit? Probably.
Well, she was paid $20 million for that role. A lot of money. So I feel like I read some of the comments from people like, oh, well, she made $20 million already. Like, why is she fighting over this?
But I don't even think it's a matter of the number. I think it's a matter of principle.
Principle. And I wouldn't deny anybody at their job of like, oh, you already make this amount. Should you really be fighting for that? Like, it's your work. Like,
yeah.
especially something to that level that she has reached. I think this will also set a precedent if she is able to win that you can't do this to people.
Well, and I don't even think it's a matter of her just being like, I want more money. It's a matter of being like, this is what we agreed on. And you're not holding up your end of the bargain.
Especially if it was true that they reached out to them afterwards and they said nothing.
Yeah, it's a matter of contract. It goes back to the one business law class I took in college. They're breaching a contract.
The breaching of contract. So that's the news and the story I'm kind of following along with a lot right now and seeing what happens with that. I am on her side. I think they should pay her the money. She deserves it. I think down the line, they should be able to negotiate for if, I think, with Disney, especially since they are the one charging the $30 to watch it on their servers, they definitely need to give a kickback to anybody who has that in their contract that it's tied to ticket sales. They should get some of the streaming as well. I also think for other directors and everybody who works on movies, that needs to be something that they get paid for. Like if their movie is kind of promised a big theatrical release and putting all this money into making ticket sales be as high as possible in the state of the world we're in right now, then they need to make sure that they hold up to the end of the bargain as well and not just looking out for their own streaming service. So that's how I feel about that. We'll follow along and update you here on the podcast when we see more about that. And that'll do it for this week. But before we hop out of here, every single week, I give a shout out to one of you guys who send me an email, moviemikeD@gmail.com. Tweet me at MikeDistro. Send me a DM on Instagram or also my Facebook page, facebook.com/MikeDistro. And I also like to shout out people who leave reviews over on Apple Podcasts.
So I know anytime you say tweet me, it reminds me of my grandpa who anytime we like say bye to him, he's like, tweet me later when you get home. And he means text.
Tweet me later.
Yeah. He's like, send me a tweet. I'm like,
follow me on tweeters.
I'm like, people, I don't think. Or he'll be like, when he means FaceTime, he's like, face tweet us later. And I'm like, that doesn't exist.
Snapbook me.
Yeah.
You're close.
It just makes me laugh.
Well, anyway, this is a review that was left on the Movie Mike page on Apple Podcasts. It's a 5-star review.
We love those.
Love a 5-star review. And it says, and it's from MacBook82, says, new listener, so fun and helps me branch out to watch different movies. I love hearing Kelsey's opinions. She brings a good balance. I like the movie questions, but also enjoy the personal questions about you both. So good and informative. Appreciate that, MacBook82. If you write a review over there, leave those 5 stars. It really helps out the podcast. I also did see right next to that, though, was a 1-star review.
Oh, what'd they say?
And it is from Alondra with 3 L's. Mm-hmm. And it said, not enough of a movie expert, 1-star. Rating this low because every time I listen, I can tell you haven't done enough research on what you're talking about.
Okay, first of all, rude.
And also not true. Like, I don't feel the need to defend myself that I don't do enough research for this podcast. I literally have a whole page.
Listen, I can promise he does enough research because it's like once he finishes one job and then I'm like, hey, come hang out with me. And he's like doing podcast research. I'm like, oh. So, you know, maybe they were just having a bad day, but I don't know. I just don't feel the need to go like
the review is one thing, but the 1-star gets me because this podcast has a good amount of 5-star reviews And that one little one star dropped it from having that overall 5 to like a 4.9. Like a 1 really hurts you. I feel for businesses that get bad Yelp reviews. Like that really changes a lot.
Yeah, and I also feel like if you, I don't know, like send an email with some constructive criticism. Don't just like be like, I hate your podcast.
Yeah, before you leave a 1-star review, send me an email, moviemikeD@gmail.com, and hit that feedback there.
Also, maybe I'm just defensive because I'm your wife, but they mentioned like every time they listen. If you didn't like it the first time, you don't have to listen again. That's the beauty of podcasts.
It is the beauty of it. You can hit click out of it real
quick. There's plenty of podcasts that I've listened to that I'm just like, oh, not for me. I don't go like hate on them. I feel like that's
like shouting an insult at a restaurant after you leave it. Like, hey, that sucked.
Yeah. Or it's like when you see people that like have to, like when celebrities put on like their Instagrams that somebody messaged them and they're like, I'm unfollowing you. It's like,
just unfollow.
Cool. Just do it. Anyways, 1-star reviews. Rude.
So if you haven't left it a review there on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, go leave us some nice 5 stars.
Go leave a 5-star to balance out that 1-star. We also, mentioning the comment about talking about our personal lives, we did just come back from our honeymoon. We went to Scottsdale, Arizona.
We did.
And had a really great time. And I think people asked why we picked Scottsdale, Arizona. And even I was trying to remember exactly why. But I think a lot of it is that we wanted to go away and be somewhere we could completely turn our brains off. Also not have a whole lot of plans. We didn't want to have a lot of activities. They're like, all right, we're going to go do this, going to go do that. We basically wanted to go and sit out by a pool and just kind of unwind and enjoy being married for the first time.
We also just didn't, we didn't have enough time, or I didn't have enough time for us to go somewhere to like a beach for a week. I just started a new job in May and I have PTO, but I've already used some for the wedding. And like the way our PTO works at my job is, it's not like a calendar year. It starts in July through the next year. And so that I had to account for like, if we take any trips at the beginning of next summer, like Christmas break.
We've had a lot of big life changes in the last.
We have. So we just didn't, I didn't have the PTO to be able to be like, let's go somewhere for a week. So we did Saturday morning to Wednesday, came back on a Wednesday evening, and it was, we could have stayed for longer. It was beautiful there. So that was why we picked somewhere close enough in the US, like one terribly long flight. We just got the most bang for our buck there.
And I had been to Phoenix before for a work trip, stayed at a resort there. And I was like, this is very relaxing. I thought we would go and just be there and hang out and enjoy it. The first couple of days, it did rain.
So we walked a half marathon in a mall.
At a mall.
If you think
a
I'm
very
kidding.
Nice mall.
We did like 15,000 steps that day.
We did a lot. And then later in the week, we were able just to do our plan of just hanging by the pool and relax and read. And I think that was kind of the most enjoyable part for me, aside from just how beautiful Arizona is.
It was beautiful. The resort we stayed at was so nice.
Yes, it was. What is it? Camelback?
It was the JW Marriott Camelback Inn. It was amazing. The views were stunning. Mm-hmm. The pool area was so nice. It's 5-star. Like, it truly is a 5-star hotel, but like, they serve you at the pool. Like the first day we got there and we tried to get a drink and we like couldn't figure out where the restaurant is.
I felt like we looked like a bunch of,
we looked like idiots because we're just like wandering around and the guy comes out and I'm like, where's the bar? And he's like, oh, we come to you and we serve you. And
we're,
I was like,
art?
We're like, what? So they do. They literally walk around like every like 5 to 10 minutes. They're like, you're good. What do you need?
And I have this weird thing of like, I don't like being served or like brought things. I feel kind of guilty because they're like, who am I? Like, you bring, like, I don't know. That felt weird to me. But I think that part at the end of it, they're very nice.
They
I think
so
that helped
nice.
A lot that they were just so friendly and like, oh yeah, like no problem. They felt like our friends hanging out too.
I had some great margaritas. Mm-hmm. Ate some really great french fries by the pool. That was my dream. I've loved to order french fries everywhere we go. Like, I think every hotel we've stayed at lately, I just get like,
you rate them by the french fries.
I do. They were great fries. Yeah, it was just nice. We would pick up dinner and eat it on our patio. Like, it was exactly what we wanted. I could have left 65% of the clothes I brought at home, my makeup, my hair straightener. Like, I just adopted full on vacation mode. Like, there was a Starbucks on the property, which again, we've talked about how we like Starbucks. Nobody hate on us.
We're drinking Starbucks now, actually.
We are. But you could walk to it. Like, we would get up in the morning and just go walk and get coffee and then walk around the property and like find little areas to sit. I want to go back.
And before somebody comes at us later, like, we did go to actual, like, local restaurants. And
we did, and we didn't like one of them, but you won't see me writing a one-star review.
That's true. But we did go. The food there is amazing.
The food is amazing.
The views, I mean, amazing. I just love driving around, really.
Yeah, we got a rental car with a sunroof. I was so excited.
You got to pick the rental car, and you were like, ooh, what with the sunroof?
I was like a little, because every time we've gotten a rental car in the past year, for various reasons, they never have a sunroof.
Mm-hmm.
And so I saw one and I was like, oh, we have to have that one because it was beautiful. We opened the sunroof, windows down. It was great.
So what would you rate our honeymoon?
10 out of 10.
10, the 10 scale. I also give it a 10 out of 10.
And I brought a cool hat back as a souvenir. I really didn't have room for much else.
That's true. But if you want to see pictures, if you haven't seen them on my Instagram, at Mike Destro, I also made like a little video on my TikTok. Also at Mike Destro.
It's a great video.
You can go see all that over there. And thanks everybody for listening this week. We will talk to you again next week on the podcast. And until then, later.
Don't forget those 5-star reviews.
5-star reviews.